So delighted you're in church this morning. Mother's Day, I know there are many pulls and many ways and sentimental ties that we have and many thoughts as we remember those who have made great contributions in our life. 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, is a chapter probably that has been preached as probably has been preached as much as any chapter in the Bible. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings, the fourth chapter, verse 8, "And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in there to eat bread. And she said unto her husband," it's interesting. I'm reading this differently than I've ever read it before. I see things between the lines. "She said unto her husband," well, there's just nothing any sweeter on face than God's earth than a husband and wife in divine agreement. Can you say amen? Right purpose, right thing, right motive, and so on. "But she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God which passeth by us continually. Let's make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he comes to us that he shall turn in thither. It fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, Call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Would you be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, Verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. The prophet of God said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood at the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. I don't think that's as harsh as the print speaks it, but she wanted to be sure that she was hearing exactly the way this was going to go. And the Bible said the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her according to the time of life. You know, God knew what he was doing when he made man. Man didn't know what he was doing when he blew it. No, what I mean, God created a perfect man in a perfect environment. No mortgage, no truck or car payments, no taxes. No thermostats. Everything was just perfect. And it wasn't good enough. And of course, you know how that man blew it. Of course, God also made woman. And man and woman are the product of God. You know, this morning as we zero in, you know, I want to just express something that's very close to my heart. You know, we should literally show respect to all women. I saw a very pitiful young woman walking down Belknap as I was on my way to the church. Everything about her didn't seem quite in order. And as I looked, as I drove by, I realized she's someone's daughter. And I said, Lord, please send a laborer to cross her pathway. You know, we should show respect to all women. We should see all women, and I say this to young men, see all women as a future mother. Would you like for that person, when your time of life comes, to be married to, you know, treat people like you want people to be treated? How many women spend a lifetime seeking answers to the abuse they have received in certain years of their life? I'm not negative. We're coming to a positive here. But you know, when relationships go sour, no one suffers like women. I know men feel and hurt and feel very deeply, but when relationships go sour, and that's why we should be very careful with keeping the right relationships. Because, you know, there's the rest of your life to live, and what goes around comes around. And I know the blood covers it all. Boy, we ought to hug that one, praise God, and stay very close. But, you know, God loves women just as much as He loves men. I remember a statement Kenneth Copeland made several years ago. He was talking to God. I forget what it was, but God's, you know how Kenneth, well, he said, God said, Bud, he said, I love Gloria just much as I love you. I don't know what the issue was, but he got the point. Praise God. So born again, spirit-filled, godly, anointed, submitted women are a mighty force in the kingdom of God. And you know the truth, the bottom line of it is, we all need one another. We all need one another. And we all should treat one another. Do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. You said this is a little philosophy. No, this is the teaching of the Word of God. And I just want to express today that thank God for the ladies and the women for all that have been such a contribution to this house. There's no way we could say thank you enough. And I tell you, I won't put up with a man that's, what I mean, I have no sympathy for men that abuse women, and no sympathy for women that abuse men. We need to treat each other with love and respect. Treat each other like human beings. And I think those things are very important because we live in a society where if you watch much television, if you're not goofy, you'll be there real quick. And boy, there's some channels, I'm telling you, dear God have mercy. I didn't realize, you know, I didn't realize there's such trash out there until our television went off the other day, and then get it back on. I thought, Lord, look what we've been missing. Praise God. Amen. But that statement right there that there was a great woman, that's a great statement, a great woman. And as I meditated on this, as many times as I've been around it, taught it, preached it, whatever, God kept saying to me, look at this from this standpoint, the power of a determined faith. It's secrets of a great woman. And you know, something I've really tried to do, because whether it's a Father's Day or Mother's Day, it's not a day for the other side to go to sleep. Really, the truths that make a great woman basically are the truths that make a great man. It's all faith. I'll work this side of here a little bit. I said it's all faith. What makes a man great, basically, I know from a man's standpoint there's a man and there's a woman, but what makes a man great is faith in God. And what makes a woman great is faith in God. Now let's look at this woman and look at this determined faith. Determined simply means, and I realized why God kept saying it to me, it's to have one's mind made up. You know why some people never successfully serve God? They've never made up their mind that's what they're going to do. They get all fired up, get sentimental, get tears in their eyes, but you've got to make up your mind as well as your heart, I'm going to serve God. It means having one's mind made up. It means to be unwavering, resolute, fixed. David said, my heart is fixed on thee, O God. It means to be firm. You've made up your mind. You've settled it in your very being. I'm fixed. I'm firm. I'm going to live for God. I remember after running from the Lord, early teen years, when I made peace with God, I said, God, I'm going to live for you the rest of my life. If I could reverently say it, God scared the, you know what he scared out of me. I mean, when I realized how close I'd come to eternity, nothing looked good when you realize I could be in eternity right now. And I'll never forget the prayer I prayed. You can laugh if you want to, but it was real that night as I knelt by that car on the highway. I said, God, from this night forward, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to be in church the next time the doors are open. I'm going to separate from any friend that would keep me from doing this. And if I have to live on an island where there's just one palm tree and one monkey and me to live for Jesus, that's what I'll do. Of course, I'd get carried away with friends, and then there you go again. One palm tree, one monkey, and me. That makes two monkeys, right? And you know, that prayer has carried me a long way. Because I made up my mind once and for all. There's nothing that this world holds that is worth Jesus being sacrificed. George Beverly Shea went home to be with the Lord the other day at 104 years of age. How many of us have heard that song, I'd rather have Jesus than anything this world affords today? Praise be unto God. They told him he'd never go anywhere in his music career when he turned to gospel music. No one would ever hear his songs. He would never have any notoriety. And probably he winds up being one of the best known singers in all the world as he sang in the great Billy Graham Crusades and was such a blessing to so many. I want you to look at this woman with me here in 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. This determined woman, she had determined faith in God. Determined faith in God. The first thing that I called your attention, and these are important points. She was determined in knowing her man of God. Church and a pastor of a church is not just a destination or a personality. It should be your calling. Amen. That's why I'm very selective and careful about the designation of pastor. I've often said it's not Pastor Doorknob, Pastor Broom, Pastor Mop. I go in some places, I don't know who the pastor is. I can find out, but it takes a little while to find out. Pastor is a very high calling of God. I don't take that lightly, and I hope you don't think I'm being overly serious about it, but she was determined to know her man of God. And in that, she and her husband were in agreement because she talked to her husband, though he was obviously much older than she was, and I don't have any numbers on that. But they were in agreement to know their man of God. It's important that we know the man of God that God has designated for us. It's not that others do not feed us and others do not influence us and that others do not bless our life. But oh, we need some definition in that. Church is not just a destination once a Sunday or once a week. The man of God is not just a personality or a voice that we point to. But I believe God calls people to churches just like he calls pastors to churches. I believe that. I've believed that for these many years. Secondly, she was determined in her respect and hospitality. Boy, some people just pull the best out of you. I mean, some people just absolutely, you feel that faith. I can look out and see faith in some of your eyes, and it's like saying, sick 'em to a bulldog. I can see that concentration. You'd be surprised what I see from the pulpit. Some things I have to blink and go the other way, but I can see faith. I can see faith. You can feel faith. You can sense it in the atmosphere. She was determined in her respect and her hospitality toward the man of God. Thirdly, she was determined in her giving and her sowing. She and her husband talked about it. And obviously he gave his approval because she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passes by us continually. And she said, we want to do something. We want to do something to be a blessing. Isn't it fun just to live to be a blessing? I said, it's the greatest thing on the face of God's earth, just to live to be a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing. We used to sing an old song years ago. Make me a blessing today to others along the pathway of life. And so she was determined. She had a made-up mind. She was unwavering. She was fixed. She was firm in her sowing. Also, she was determined in her faith request, because out of giving, out of a heart of love, the promises of God become more crystal clear all the time. And one day the prophet of God said, what can we do for this woman? What can we do for her? She keeps doing for us. There were not hotels and motels or whatever you want to call them along the way, luxury spas or whatever. The road was long and hard and dusty, and when you found a place where you were welcome and when you could rest a little bit, it was something very special. The prophet of God said, everything has been done to make us feel at home. What can we do for this woman? Would you like for me to speak to the king? Would you like for me to put a good word into people of authority? Would you like for me to say something to important people? She said, no, I don't need that. You know, when you know God and you have faith in God, you don't need a lot of stuff that other people need. When you really know who you are, you can rest in that and just keep it on a spiritual plane, because everything comes out of that anyway. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. I tell you, God's done things for us and sent us places and honored and done things that just continue to overwhelm me even to this day. She was determined in her faith request that she submitted, that her husband was old and she wanted a son. In other words, she said, I need a miracle. I need a miracle. Anybody need a miracle today? I think all of us need a miracle of some kind. My husband is old, but I trust in the Rock of Ages. Praise God, that slipped right by you. Praise the Lord. My husband may be too old, but God is ageless. God is able. She was also determined. This woman had a determined faith that Satan, the son came, that Satan could not steal her promised miracle son. Now, church, don't think it's strange that Satan tries to steal your promises, that Satan tries to steal what God has done for you. We still live in this world. And the son came. What his age was, I don't know, but he was old enough to go out into the field and work with his father. And one day he was out working and he said, my head, whether it's a heat stroke, I don't know. They took him to the house and the young man passed away. You know, this is an important thing. When adversity came, she knew her man of God. She knew the source. Not that a man's, but you understand, this was her point of contact. When adversity came, she didn't throw up her hands and say, well, that's the way I thought it was going to turn out. It always seems to come around this way to me. She was determined to go to her man of God. She took the boy, put him up in his room. This, you know, I look at this woman. She had a made-up mind. This woman was not here, there, and everywhere. She had a determined, made-up mind. She puts the boy up in the room, says to her husband, I'm going as quickly as I can go. Folks, when the bottom drops out, when life goes sour, when it seems that things are not going your way, do you run away from or run to the help of God? I mean, she said, drive, go forward, slack not. We're going just as quickly as we can go. We're going to the source of this promise. Hallelujah. She was determined. Where are you going, woman? I'm going to the man of God. How quickly are you going? As fast as I can go. We're not going to stop. We're not going to slow down. We're going as quickly as we can go. As she was approaching the man of God, he recognized this Shunammite woman. And he said, go check with her. Let me tell you something else. This woman was determined. She was determined to say the right thing. She was determined to make a right confession. My God shall supply all my needs. Adversity may have come. Weeping endures for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Hallelujah. Regardless of what's happening around me, I'm going for a better day. Church, we've got to come back to the new understanding of the words of our mouth determine the course of life. You can't speak adversity. You can't speak negatives. You can't be on the negative. You've got to get back to speaking the word. If you got away, get back to speaking the word of God. Ask her what's going on. Before she even left, she said, it shall be well. As I brought out in a previous message along these lines from this very same chapter, that word simply means shalom. It shall be well. The shalom peace of God. They sang about that this morning. It shall be well. You know, that's where faith comes in. When the weather's closed in on you, when adversity seems on top of your head, when everything seems to be going the other way, that you stand fast and you are determined. My heart is fixed. My mind is made up. My spirit is in tune with the promise of God. It shall be well. It shall be. I've faced things in the last few months. I had to make up my mind I'm going to practice what I preach. Amen. And I do believe what I preach. It's brought me through more storms than I can count. Yeah, it sucks with the wind out of you for a moment, it seems like you get a hit in the midsection, but you just bounce up and get back in the Word of God and say, regardless of what has happened, God's never failed us. God's going to see me through. God's going to bring us out on the high side of victory. And He has for 49 years that I've been pastor of this church. Oh, I hope that doesn't sound shallow, but that's the way I live. That's the way I think. Don't let Satan get you down. Don't let him rain on your parade. Don't let him bring a spirit of hopelessness. It hits me for a few moments every once in a while, but I know I can't stay there. It just doesn't work. She was determined in her faith confession. It shall be well. She didn't quit on her man of God. She didn't quit. She went back to the source. And as she approached, they said, ask her, how is it? And she said, it is well. It is well. It is well. Hallelujah. It is well. I'm challenging every woman in this house. If it's the greatest day of your life or you're facing some challenges or some adversities, get this thing locked in your spirit. It is well and it shall be well. Hallelujah. That's the part that I love about pastoring. I've seen people in the valley, and thank God I lived long enough to see them on the mountain. I've seen them in the pit, and I've lived long enough to see them back in the palace. Don't let adversity be the end of all things. Praise God if you're on top. Praise God and stay on top. If you're on the bottom, praise God and get back on top. I mean, this woman was determined. This woman was determined. Hallelujah. She was determined. She was determined. She wasn't shallow. She was strong. Hallelujah. 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 Years ago, back in those post office days, I was noticing a couple little throws that we have on the bed there. And it dawned on me we've had those a long time. The woman that made those was one of those uncommon women that we've met over a period of time. And you know, her husband, bless his heart, he tried, but boy, he had a hard time getting there. I tell you, had a hard time keeping a job and had a hard time, I don't know, he just, he had to work on the dots coming together, I tell you. But you know what, this little woman, she could sew and she could do things. And I don't know how she came up with it, but every once in a while she'd come in and bring an offering to the church. I thought, where in the world did this come from? How did this woman get that? And she just delighted. God helped them. They got the house paid for. And in spite of her husband, she lived a good life. It's kind of one of those amazing stories. And I looked at those little beautiful little artwork of her hands and so on that we've had for so many years. And I thought, she said, you'll never know. Said, this church has been a lifeline. This church has been a lifeline. What I've heard here has changed my life. See, that's the difference. Some people hear and they grow, and other people never hear and they go. I don't know how all that comes together. But, you know, as I think about that little woman, oh, no one, virtually no one knew her name, but God knew her name. Boy, she was so special. I've met so many special people that it just keeps you praising God with all of your heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I tell you, in everyone's life, whether you're man or woman, father, mother, whatever, faith in God will see you through. There was a great woman. There are great women in this room today. There are great men in this room today. Some of the greatest people that I know on the face of God's earth are in this room today. I mean that. This week we've had some of the greatest ministries in the whole wide world. I know them. I know their genuineness. I know what they've been through. And I know how they've stayed with the Word. And God has brought them through. Folks, we're the come through people. We come through the waters. We come through the fires. We come through adversity. I don't like it any more than you do, but we come through and we're coming out. And this book is the roadmap. This is the manual that God gave us. The Word works. Praise God. You know, as I looked at this woman's life, as the man of God came in, hallelujah, he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was coming to him, he said, take up thy son. Then 2 Kings, the 4th chapter, verse 36. And I believe that's the word that God wants us to say today. And it could be a son or a daughter. But you know what God's saying to all of us? Take that promise up again. Pick it up again. Pick that promise up. Pick it up again. Take up thy son. Take up your hope. Take up your promise. Take up what you almost gave up. Pick it up. Pick it up. Get a hold of it again. It's not gone. It's not gone. The clouds just came over for a few moments. But pick it up. Pick up that promise. Pick up that hope. Pick up the things that you said, well, I thought I believed. No, get rid of that. It shall be well. It is well. That's the message that God's trying to bring to us today. It shall be well, and it is well. I think to strategic times in this church, when I knew it was God getting ready to do some things, and even before September, I cried out to God again. God, I know it's time to shift gears. It's time to change right here. We're not seeing enough production. Amen. And I'll tell you, in September, God began to turn this church in a different way. And I want you to know one thing. It's not works. Unless you want to turn your salvation and call it works. It's not works. What we're doing is not works. Faith works if you work it. Faith works if you work it. I want to say it again. Faith works if you work it. It's more than just a little cliche saying. You got to work faith. Faith without works is dead. Works without faith won't work, and faith without works, they work together. They're Siamese twins. And that doesn't violate grace at all. Without grace, none of us are going to make it. That's a no-brainer to me. I don't have a problem there at all. I'm a grace man. I'm a faith man. I'm a word man. But faith works. And what's blowing me, some people say people coming to Jesus is works. How brain and heart dead can you get? How brain and heart dead can you get? Doing what Jesus said to do is works. It's faith works. Praise God. I said, praise God. Remembered back on Bearsville when I said, God, it's time for change. And God brought a mighty move of God through young people. Then God brought it through outreach. Think downtown how that God, time and time again, when you're up against a struggle and you're up against the wall. Boy, I love that song. I wish I could sing it this morning. Remember, God's not through. God's not through. You say, I feel so yucky. I feel so dead. I don't know. It just seems like everything's a dead end street. Oh, you're a candidate for a miracle, honey. Your marriage is a candidate for a miracle. Your home is a candidate for a miracle. Up against the struggle, up against the wall, have faith in God. Hallelujah. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hallelujah. I'll be honest with you, I kind of thought if I preached long enough, I wouldn't have to lean on all this faith stuff so much. And I finally realized, boy, was I on the wrong way of thinking. It's all faith, and it's going to be faith until I'm out of here. It's all faith. But faith works. Faith works. Faith brought you the husband, but it's works that brings thing around. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. I don't have to get a Mother's Day card. I rejoice that I can get a Mother's Day card. Bless my wife. She's a mother, grandmother, great-grand. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Don't have to, get to. Praise God. So what am I saying? I look at this woman, and I'm trying to find a close here. This woman had a determined faith, and none of us are going to make it as we should make it without a determined faith, a faith that is fixed, a faith that is unshakable, unmovable, not moved by who you talked to last or what people say or what's going on. Your faith is in God. I'm still trying to find the closure that I feel God. I mean, I look at this woman. I mean, everything I read here, I came into the auditorium, just had a private time with God last night, no one else around, and I read and reread this again and again. Everything this woman was about was a determined faith. Determined to know the man of God, determined to give, determined to do the things she did, determined to receive a son, determined to not let that son disappear, determined to stay on track. Hallelujah. Determined. I am determined to stay on track. I am determined to stay on the track that God has placed me on. I'm determined I'm going to finish strong. I'm determined. I'm determined. I know it may be Mother's Day, but mothers, let me borrow a little bit of your thunder. I'm determined too. You're determined. It's that determined heart that's going to bring us all through. It's young people that are determined, like the Hebrew children. They were determined. Daniel was determined. Joseph was determined. Esther was determined to the point she said, if I perish, I perish. I'm committed to do the will of God. Hallelujah. Mary said, the world may not understand, but I am. She was determined. She was a woman of determined faith. And I just submit this to us as we bring these thoughts to a close. Oh, be determined in your heart. Don't be easily discouraged. Don't be easily distracted. And again, I say it so often because as sweet as she is, I think this is one of the only faults Joy has. If you just knew her, she's such a precious person. Even yesterday, twice, she said, Bob, look there. Look. No, 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 I'm not going to look. I've got precious cargo. Well, Bob, just look for a moment. You can just look. No, no, that may be the moment someone decides to stop, you know. You got to stay on track. You can't let stuff get you off track. There's always something trying to get me off track. Always somebody, something. You got to know what God's called you to do and just keep on doing what God told you last. You've got to keep on doing what God told you last. My deal won't work. Your deal won't work. His deal will. Regardless of what happens. I know I'm repeating myself, and I'm doing it on purpose because I'm listening to myself this morning. We need to know and refuse to be distracted. This woman was determined. She was determined. How many people say, well, this, well, that, well, that? You know, I'm a processor. I watch, I listen, I observe a lot closer than people think I do. And you know, I was talking to some ministers this week. I've seen these guys. I know guys that should have quit. I know when they could have quit. But I told one man, dear God, he's gone through just about everything you can go through. And I said, you know, the thing I admire about you, said you just won't quit. He said, well, I've got a good teacher, Pastor. Praise God. I said, he doesn't know how many times I wanted to. I just couldn't find an exit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Quitters never win and winners never quit. You do the right thing and God's going to bring you out on the high side of victory. And I say to you what the prophet of God said to the woman of God. Take up thy son. Pick him up again. Pick up that promise of God. Get a new grip on that promise of God. No matter how old or how young you are, hold on to that promise of God. Hallelujah. Praise be unto God. Father, I thank you. I thank you. I believe we finally found expression. Lord, we are determined today. We will finish. We will see through what God's called us to do. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lock it, saints. Lock in on it. It's not just me getting through. It's God getting through to you. I mean, lock in. There's a race that I must run. There are victories to be won. Lord, give me power every hour to be true. Keep me true, Lord. Keep me on track. I look back on the many years that we've been doing this. And I think of the other day I just wept. How God has at the right time always given you grace. Isn't that something? At the right time, God just gives you grace. Amen. When you think, God, I can't take one more lick. I can't take one more, not one more. And His grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient. I'll tell you, God's shockproof. God's foolproof. God's quitproof. He's faithful. He's a faithful God. He's a faithful God. I said He's a faithful God. Whenever your best friend may not be faithful, God is faithful. Whenever those you've loved and trusted may not be faithful, God is faithful. Hallelujah, hallelujah. When unbelief walked out, God walked in. Amen. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, God's setting this church up for some of the greatest blessings we've ever experienced. I'm still expecting that million-dollar check. You know, I was just thinking, I've been privileged to hear every message morning and evening this week. I don't know how in the world you could hear a week like this and miss God. I don't know how. I mean, you'd have to be totally heart and brain dead. You know, God's doing everything a God can do. God's doing everything heaven can do. God, even through me this morning, is reaching out to every person in this house saying, you can make it. You can do it. It's not over. It's not over. My best days for you are coming. Just get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Receive that. Receive it. Receive it. Hallelujah. Receive it. Hallelujah. Receive it. Just receive it in the name of Jesus. Everybody standing, if you will. Oh, thank God. Thank God.